It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Ephesians, we're in chapter 5. Last time we looked at verse 16, and we're going to pick up there where we left off. Now, redeeming the time. And I said last time that we needed to take a look at the word time. And there are actually two words in the New Testament that talks about time. This would be the word season and opportunity. And this is something that each of us need to concern ourselves with, not only as people who know Jesus Christ as Savior, but people who do not know Him as Lord and Savior. This is something that each human being in this world needs to be aware of. Time. Sometimes the word time is translated season, and sometimes opportunity. And we see that Paul the Apostle talks about this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, where he says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Well, Paul uses the word opportunity there. And then, again, it's working side by side with the other word season. In Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, it says there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, "And he," that's Christ, "said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power." Well, I gave the definitions last time, but let me do that again. The word season simply indicates the succession of periods of time within a time frame. For example, and we talked about this, everybody's familiar with these terms: spring, summer, fall, and winter, seasons. Well, Solomon puts it this way: "The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." This is Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 12. And Solomon goes on to say, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. And I also made mention of Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, where it says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season," in other words, the right time, "to help him that is weary, to wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." Well, I believe what Isaiah, under the inspiration of God, is saying is that there are times when certain things can be done accordingly, properly. When what? When it is time. And God does not leave us wondering about, floundering around, wondering about things. He gives us answers as we study His Word, as we get into the Word of God. I've met Christians who are really, shall I say, floundering around. Some Christians simply refuse. I don't know if they know it or not. They're simply floundering around, not getting into the Word of God. They say sometimes they do not have an opportunity. And that's another one of our words here for time. They simply do not have the opportunity to get into the Word of God. Well, let me say the opportunity is now. And we're going to see more about that as we study the words here, the word time first and opportunity. Well, notice the word opportunity indicates a critical moment in which spatial work or events should take place. And here, redeeming the time does not merely mean making the most of moments. Let me go back and read verse 16 again of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So it's speaking about time. And there is a critical moment in which spatial work or events should take place, redeeming the time. It means laying hold of and understanding the spatial significance of life as a whole, and of each succeeding instant of it, as the season for some specific duty. Well, for us, it is not merely time. It is the time. Not merely the progression of time, as the movement of the hands of a clock, but the moment of heightened urgency, having significance, because each of us are under God's supervision. Yes, we have a special mission, and He sent us on that mission. And we've been given afforded an opportunity for a special work. And that work is to be done for a special person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that ability, and we may mention the word ability here in just a few moments, but He's given us the ability to do what He wants us to do at a certain time. Well, we look at works, the works that we have as saved people, and one of those special works is given to save people by Christ Himself. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, and you're probably familiar with these two verses, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Well, those verses, that's our marching orders, and that's what we're to be doing as saved people. Each of us, saved people, I would liken this to a window of opportunity. We have a window of opportunity, an allocated, if you would, period of time. Some of us have more, some less, to do a special work for the Lord. You see, some of us are not going to live as long as others, as the next person possibly. Maybe that person will not live as long as me. We each have an allotted period of time to do the things, the special work for the Lord. Now, we may not see ourselves as much, but God sees us as His dear child, who's been given certain ability. Not simple human ability, but a God-given ability to complete within our window of time what He has for us to do. As a child of God, each of our specific windows of opportunity is for a specific time and a specific purpose. As Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, doing what's right, redeeming the time in the specific time that God has given us. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." Well, notice this in James 4:14 where it says a little time. Well, that little time is our window of opportunity to be where God wants us and what He wants us to do. Right then, there is an urgency, right now, redeeming the time, right now, because what? We have a little time. We have time right now. It's not tomorrow, it's not next week, but it's right now. This is our window of opportunity to do the things that God wants us to do through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow, for what you and I, you know, you see that it may never come for me and it may never come for you. This is our time right now. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months," this is more time, "and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already." That means they're right now, today, ready to harvest. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Well, we also see that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Well, the laborers are few because people are not using right now what has been given them. What has been given by God to save people is the privilege of service right now, not tomorrow, No, well, you may be alive tomorrow, and that's your right now. You may be alive next week, next year. Well, that's your right now, but we're alive right now. And that privilege of service has been given to us right now. Well, I fear that many times as people listen to what Jesus says, they think he's speaking to someone else. What else does Jesus say about the harvest? He said, "Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Matthew 9:38. Well, he goes on to say this, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Well, we are to pray, as Jesus said, for more people to be working for him, leading souls to him, and helping people to grow in the grace and knowledge of him. Well, while we pray, we are not to lose sight of the fact that we are not only to pray, but we are also to be working together in the harvest. The Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. See, we are not to make prayer our part of labor, instead of going into the field laboring for the harvest of souls. Any excuse for not being in the harvest for God is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Now, please do not make prayer an excuse for not serving God right now. Also, don't confuse what I'm saying about excuses. That person who is unable to get out into the harvest because of a physical ailment is not making an excuse, but has a reason for not being directly into the harvest. The person who is physically unable to be in the harvest can pray for God to send laborers into the harvest, since they themselves cannot go. Well, there is a need for the unsafe person to realize something about an opportunity. And that opportunity is right now. You see, just as a safe person has an opportunity, a definite action that should take place in a certain period of time, the person who has never trusted Christ as Savior also has a definite action that should take place in a certain period of time. And for the unsafe person, that person should listen to God's word when it comes to time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And listen carefully to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted," there's the word time, "and in the day," that's time, "of salvation, have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You don't have the promise of tomorrow. You need to get saved today. You need to trust Jesus Christ today, because now is your window of opportunity to trust him as Lord and Savior. Admit that you're a sinner, you can't save yourself, and you're willing now to go God's way through Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.